I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World, a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH Boston. President Obama led the remembrance today of the 1963 March on Washington. The president spoke from the very spot where Martin Luther King Jr. delivered his I Have a Dream speech 50 years ago. That speech is considered now a crucial piece of American history. Its potency, though, was felt not just around the United States, but all over the world. Mary Dujack can attest to that. She's a legal historian at Emory University and has written extensively about the relationship between the U.S. civil rights movement and Cold War foreign policy. Dujack says that in advance of the 1963 march, black Americans in Paris were getting expats across Europe to show their support for it.
James Baldwin and some friends basically gathered together folks for a meeting at a nightclub in Paris, and they decided to start a petition drive to ask Americans outside the U.S. to petition at their U.S. embassies or diplomatic posts in support of the March on Washington. They put a petition in international editions of the New York Times and the Herald Tribune that Americans in Europe were supposed to cut out, sign, and take to their U.S. embassy the Wednesday before the march. And then in Paris itself, 500 signatures were delivered, you know, just to the U.S. Embassy in Paris. But there were also independent organizing efforts unconnected with the Paris group. The March of 2500 in Kingston, Jamaica, led by the mayor of the city. There was a march of 12 to 1400 in Amsterdam. And then there were smaller marches in Cairo, in Ghana.
I mean, it wasn't like racism didn't exist anywhere else in the world, but I guess we've got to see the U.S. in contrast to the rest of the world in terms of race discrimination at this point. I mean, aside from South Africa, was there a country anywhere in the world where race and civil rights were such a stark problem?
Everywhere. But the U.S. after World War II becomes an important global power. And then as the Cold War develops, the U.S. argued that its form of government was better for all the world than communism because in the United States, rights were protected. Now, early on, people in other countries would say, you know, United States, how can you argue that your system of government is better for people in Africa and Asia when within your own country, you know, school children are segregated? People were shot sometimes for trying to register to vote when within the United States, American citizens were being treated this way.
So the Kennedy administration wanted to construct its own narrative of the March on Washington. How did they spin it?
For the March on Washington itself, they attempted to turn it into a story about democracy at work. They basically said, and you know, in what other country would you see this group of people who are allowed to gather together in the nation's capital and demonstrate like this?
One of the tools the U.S. government used to tell that story was film, one film in particular called The March that was produced by the U.S. Information Agency. They hired a filmmaker. Let's just hear a little bit of that.
In the night, few people had arrived. Negro leaders feared that their work had failed. Those who did come waited singing.
So, Mary Dujack, this movie, The March, was completed in 1964 after the Kennedy assassination. But even before it was released, I gather it ran into opposition in Congress and other parts of government. What did they object to?
Well, what they most objected to was portrayal of an interracial couple going to the march together.
That was it?
That was considered to be pretty explosive by some members of Congress.
Of course. I mean, this was 1963, but I mean, that's one scene. So how did – was there sudden intervention from government to kind of edit the film the way they saw the story?
Well, what happened was the revised film began with an introduction by Carl Rowan. He was the director of the U.S. Information Agency, and he was also a U.S. government official who was African-American. So even his presence there was a way of showing that African-Americans are not only supportive of the administration, but are part of it.
I believe that this demonstration of both whites and Negroes, supported by the federal government and by both President Johnson and the late President Kennedy, is a profound example of the procedures unfettered men use to broaden the horizons of freedom.
By the time James Blue's film, The March, was seen by eyes around the world, a lot had happened, including the horrible church bombing in Birmingham in which four girls died. There's an interesting moment where the film is seen in Cameroon. Tell us about that.
So when U.S. information officers, you know, were trying to use a video from the march in other countries, including Cameroon, a Cameroonian official says to them, well, don't you have a film of the church dynamiting too? Which was essentially a way of saying you can't prevail with this feel-good story when there are so many devastating stories of violence against people who are simply trying to achieve the basic rights in a democratic system of government.
Mary Dujack, a legal historian at Emory University and the author of Cold War Civil Rights, Race, and the Image of American Democracy. Mary, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
You can see the pretty extraordinary film, The March, the documentary that the Kennedy administration produced to convey a positive image of the March on Washington to countries around the globe. You can find it at theworld.org.